We are going to talk with CBS News transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve live. He's joining us on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline. Thank you very much for talking to us this afternoon.
Sure thing.
Do you think that there are going to be some concrete changes to come out of these congressional hearings?
Well, I think you're going to see some changes, yes. And some of these were already in the works. The FAA has acknowledged that there are changes coming to how it evaluates training, how it looks at self-audits done by companies like Boeing. But I think really what you're going to see, the big changes will come as these investigative reports come in from the Inspector General. We understand there's a criminal investigation that's underway. This special committee that the Department of Transportation has stood up. As some of these reports come back with recommendations or findings about what went wrong or what was missed, that's probably where you see the most catalyst for change.
Chris, at this point, are investigators able to point to anything specific that was discovered in terms of the source of these issues with the 747 MAX?
Well, so we know more about the Lion Air crash than we do about the Ethiopia crash. And I think one of the frustrating things for everybody involved is the trickle of information that has come out of the Ethiopian crash over the last 2+ weeks just isn't enough to answer some questions. There are clear similarities between the two. So there's sort of a working theory that's emerging, but it's nothing more than a theory. We know in Lion Air that investigators believe a sensor malfunction triggered this anti-stall system that's like sort of a subsystem in another system that was designed to keep the plane from entering a stall, from pitching up too far. And the sensor failed. It triggered this MCAS system, and that forced the nose of the plane down nearly 24 times before those pilots lost control. That's what investigators believe happened. Obviously, one sensor malfunctioning shouldn't be enough to do that. The FAA in this hearing and consistently has pointed to, well, if the pilots had followed proper procedure for what's called a trim event and just flipped a couple of switches and turned off the automation, they would have been able to self-fly that plane. It's clear that for whatever reason in that airplane, it was not so easily to recognize that this was a trim event, even if everybody in the U.S. thinks it should have been.
I want to talk about the timetable of getting the 737 MAXs flying again in the U.S. The FAA, Boeing say they won't fly until we know they're safe. Have there been concrete steps laid out about how that process would occur?
Sure. One of them, of course, is we have to know more about what happened in Ethiopia with Flight 302. It almost makes no sense to try to say the planes are safe when those big question marks are out there because we don't know if there's something we don't know. The software fix that Boeing has been demoing for people is a must-accomplish step in that direction. And what that's going to do is it's going to mean this MCAS system will only trigger once. It won't trigger 21 times like it did in Lion Air, they think. It will be less intense in when it activates. And it's going to require both of the sensors that can trigger at these angle of attack sensors you've maybe heard talked about. Both of them are going to more or less have to agree that there's a problem for it to activate. And then this additional training that Boeing is rolling out. Those things are concrete steps. The FAA has to approve it. Other regulators in Canada and Europe have said they want to go through it and approve it. So, you know, that's how to get approved. There'll likely be some changes from the regulators before that gets done. And then perhaps by then we'll have a better sense as to what happened in Ethiopia, and that may speed this process along.
Chris, before we let you go, I want to ask you specifically about the international challenge here. Some U.S. pilots are saying part of the issue is that U.S. pilots are trained beyond some of their counterparts overseas. What does the FAA and the U.S. government do about that?
Well, I think that's maybe a better question as to what do Boeing and Airbus do moving forward. This has the potential to really be a watershed moment in how airplanes are designed and how pilots are trained. Because right now, Boeing and Airbus build planes with the U.S. pilot in mind. Well, the bulk of the orders in the future are in the developing world. And we have seen that pilot standards are just different. The U.S. requires you to have 1,500 hours before you can be a first officer on a regional carrier, let alone one of the big airlines. The co-pilot in Ethiopian had 350 flight hours. So I think the conversation may have to be is refocusing the planes and particularly the training to people who English isn't their first language and who may not be at the same level as a U.S. pilot.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate it. Chris Van Cleve is CBS News transportation correspondent.